You're listening to The Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell, and co-host Keelan Harvey on Alternative Talk AM 1150. Now, back to the show with local mortgage experts Tina Mitchell and Keelan Harvey.
Welcome back to The Money Hour at 1150 AM KKNW, the Saturday, January 18th show. I am your host, Tina Mitchell.
And I'm your co-host, Keelan Harvey.
We are local mortgage experts. We are here to help you build a strong financial blueprint one week and one show at a time. If you're hearing our show at a different time or day, you are listening to a rebroadcast. If you'd like to connect with the guests that we have on the show today, please call the show at 1-855-400-1150. Again, that's 1-855-400-1150. Or online at themoneyhour.com. In studio right now, first-time guest, we have Dan Putnam of Rain City Supercars. And we're going to talk about cars, money, and just keeping it real. Dan, thank you so much for coming in and joining us.
Thank you for having me on the show today.
And a little bit about Dan. Dan and his co-host, Nicholas, who couldn't join us today in studio, maybe next time you come in, he can come, run a podcast highlighting the people intertwined in the very unique PNW car culture around the world. His show highlights the one degree of separation everyone has in the car world and how small the world really is. His show features guests ranging from former Seahawk Cliff Averill, by the way, he was my next door neighbor, to the world authority on all things wine, Madeline Puckett, and everyone in between. With over 10,000 listeners a week, and most of them not being car people, they share the great stories of amazing people they have met, give tips on car ownership and road trips, and focus on keeping people real and authentic about who they really are.
Dan, I'm so excited about this.
Keelan's gleaning.
Yeah, I'm like glowing right now.
He's glowing.
Three things I'm super passionate about: cars, money, and keeping it real. So I love this. I'm going to make sure that Angela listens into this one because I've been just prying on her for my Porsche. But then I had a kid and we were talking about this for the show and the car seat doesn't fit back in the 911 so well. So anyways, Dan, talk to us a little bit about, I'm really curious about this, failures that you commonly see in the exotic car world, because they come in all types and flavors and sizes and all kinds of things. Some are better than others.
Yeah, well, because this is a money show, I thought I would talk about that part of it, because it's what I see the most. So I help host exotics at Redmond Town Center. I do Monterey Car Week. I'm usually in Scottsdale this week for Car Week down there, and I meet a lot.
Is that where Nicholas is at?
That's where Nicholas is at right now, hosting a Jet Center event down there.
How fun.
Yeah, a ton of fun.
And your life is good.
I have a ton of fun, and I have, it's just, there's nothing about it that sucks. It's great being in the car world. The vast majority of people I meet are amazing and have great stories.
Yeah.
But one of the most common things I see, especially when I get to, especially with all the new money in town, you get guys that'll come in, they get their great new tech job, they got their nice big bonus check, poof, all gone on that McLaren they wanted their entire life, or that Lamborghini or that Ferrari. Yeah. And I have a lot of friends that work there, but it's funny because, you know, when you're a kid and you're dreaming of a car, you're willing to extend yourself so much to live paycheck to paycheck to get that car.
Mm.
And at that time, it's a small thing. It's like maybe it's a, you know, if you're from a small town up here, it's a used Camaro or something. The same thing happens to adults, though. They'll go in and they will live paycheck to paycheck on a $200,000 a year income to have that car they want.
That's crazy.
And they're not impressing anybody.
Yeah.
Because all the guys that have been doing this for a long time are like, that was a terrible choice. that, you know, $200,000 car you just bought is worth $100,000 as soon as you roll it off the lot. And that's the sad truth. You guys lease for $3,000 to $4,000 a month.
Yikes.
And I see it all the time. This is not rare. And
that's crazy.
It's a scary repetitive pattern. So and that's what we talk about a lot on our show, is keeping it real. And it's no, there's a reason I buy used supercars.
Yes,
if you have the luxury to buy new, by all means, I totally get ordering exactly the car you want, rolling it up to your door like a present. But it's like, you have to take a real hard, authentic look at yourself and where you're at in life to do that.
Makes sense. Yeah. So let's talk about the right budget for a car if you're a car enthusiastic.
If you're an enthusiast like me, I do say there is a return on investment and joy in keeping a car like that. You are going to be willing to extend yourself a little further than most people. And I won't guilt somebody for that. I mean, from the financial planner side of it, you're like gritting your teeth going, no, don't do that. That's that's a little bit out of budget for you. You shouldn't spend that much. But for me, like, my favorite thing to do in the world is road trips. I host rallies down to Monterey and across the country. And I love that stuff. So for me, there's a little bit more of my money that goes into my cars than most people. So I would say it's sort of the same rules that apply to buying any car, then maybe add another 5%, another 10%.
Okay.
I don't want to play anybody's banker, but I also don't want to come down too hard on somebody who spent a little more than probably their financial planner thinks they should.
Yeah.
Because if you are not a car person and not an enthusiast, you're not seeing that joy return on investment. For me, it's like I will eat out less. I shop differently because of the car I have. And so it's not that I'm overspending on the car. It's that I'm reducing my budget in other areas.
That's your true passion. So you're putting your extra resources there where someone else's true passion is going to be somewhere else. So don't spend that kind of money on a car because you're, makes total sense.
Yeah. If your passion is, you know, Louis Vuitton handbags and cars, then you might have a problem on a limited income.
Exactly.
But
exactly.
If you're willing to cut out one of those other ones, then you're in a much safer space.
I agree with that, Dan. I mean, if you drive your car a lot, especially, I mean, if I spend a good chunk of change, and that's my I'm already selling it right now. My justification on it, you know, I get happy in a car that's got some performance and it puts a smile on my face every single day. And I mean, some people I've heard, my fiance is in property management. There's a guy that lives at the apartments with a Lambo.
Yeah.
And literally, and he has a McLaren. Now, the kid's balling, but he's living in an apartment driving a Lambo and a McLaren.
That
literally, it's
so
sitting in our garage
crazy.
Right now, a white Huracana or whatever they are.
Yep.
Yeah, so it's
and not to judge, but being in the mortgage industry, I just don't get that. You know, being a homeowner before having, but no judgment here.
I mean, absolutely backwards, right? No matter how you cut it, it's a depreciating asset, and it's just all comes down to how big of a chomp you want to make out of that. Mm. So. And I know the answer to this, Dan. I had a question for you about making money on cars. I did it small time. I used to flip cars. I used to, like, back in the day, and I worked at an auction for many years.
Very cool.
And, so I got to see the dealer auctions and kind of how that works. But so you can make money, but you got to be smart about what you're doing, I should say. So what is your feedback on making money on cars?
The very high level but almost always correct answer to this is no.
Yeah.
It's pretty much never. Unless you are dealing with extremely limited market vehicles and you have the money up front, like if you have an extra $100,000 to spare right now, buy a Ferrari 360 and a manual. Do it right now and sit on it for 10 years. You'll make triple your money back.
Wow.
But is that really a good investment compared to property?
Sure.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Like $100,000 on a car and then getting it up to $200,000 10 years later is a very slow return investment on your money.
Yes.
Most of the people that are doing it and making good money at this are doing it in volume.
Yeah.
That's why Park Place is down at Scottsdale right now with like 100 cars. They're going to lose money on probably 20% of those. But if they're making money on 80%,
makes sense.
They're making a lot of money. But they're doing it in high volume, high return. And it's a risky business. I've seen a lot of people fail at it. We can go into things like the bull market and like how to buy a collector car. It's like I always tell everybody, the car you really wanted when you were a kid, the limited production model of that car will eventually come back in value. Weird things like the Corrados and the CRX SIs and the Integra Type R. Like Integra Type Rs were 40 new and they're 70 used now.
It's crazy.
But still, that's a 20-year investment to get $30,000 back.
Yeah.
So when we're talking money, that's not that great of a deal.
No.
If you're a car guy who wants to have a fun car and make a little money and not go upside down, that's
the crazy
not bad.
Thing for me is having an expensive car that you're looking for an investment, but actually being out there driving it on the road.
Right?
You know?
Exactly. I've got 47,000 miles on my 911 Turbo S. I bought it with 27. There's no way I'm making money back on my car.
Yes,
and
exactly.
I knew that going into it. That was just dumping
it's
money.
It's all about the passion about the car.
Yeah.
So, Dan, what cars are a safe bet for investments in fun versus investments money-wise?
Well, it depends if you want to collect and show or if you want to collect and drive.
Okay.
So right now, our friends at Hagerty put out their bull market. I tell everybody to go to that every year. There's one of the people that tend to get it right. It's the insurance companies because they care about your car investment more than you do 100 times over.
Sure.
Because
sure.
if they total it, they got to adjust their rates accordingly.
Uh-huh.
Basically, any exotic car, and I mean true exotic, if you've got a... want to create a very clear difference here. I had a Corvette Z06, not an exotic. Really fun car, but it's a mass production vehicle. But if you've got an Italian with a manual transmission, it's going to go up. Pretty much safe investment across the board is any Ferrari that was vintage and popular and in low production is going to go up. Rare cars that everybody hated at the time always go up. When I say that, I mean like the Porsche.
Interesting.
The Porsche 914. My brother had one of those when I was a kid, and he bought it, I think, for $1,500.
Oh, my God.
I think he sold it for $3,000. And because most of them went to rot, people tossed them away and forgot about them. Uh-huh. Now there's not a lot of them out there. And even though at the time they were like the blasphemy of Porsches, they've skyrocketed in value. Now they're 20, 30,000. If you're lucky enough to have a 914-6 wide body, you're at 100 plus.
That's
so
crazy.
Limited production, manual transmission, typically imported. Although the Viper GTS is a great example of a car that's rocketing right now.
Mm-hmm. So they quit making those, right?
Yep. That was the last year for them. It was last year.
Oh, I feel a little out of the conversation. I don't know any of the, I mean, I know what a Porsche is, but all the extra stuff after the Porsche.
It's in the same vein, though.
It's a guy thing, I guess.
You got the Jaguar, which
that's
is a
all
beautiful.
That's all I know, but my dream is that my dream's a little Bentley.
Oh.
But yeah,
I love the Jag. Luxury.
Uh-huh.
So I've modded cars my entire life, Dan, including my fam. I got an Infiniti G37 four-door sedan. It's the XS all-wheel drive. It's like 335 horsepower.
Yeah,
it's a 370Z motor, and it's starving for air. So I gave it high-flow cats, cold air intake, exhaust, and mm-hmm. tune.
You sound so smart.
I'm a car guy. Yeah, lowered it a little bit so I can still put my kid back in it, and it'll drive forever. Those motors, they
bulletproof motor.
Bulletproof, yeah. So that's fun. But after I did it, I was like, this is probably, I know it's not a good investment because it cost me about $7,000 to do all that. And I'm not going to receive a dollar back from that. So what is your take on modding in general? Can you make, I mean, are there good investments with modding?
Yes. But for the most part, no, you're exactly right. I always tell everybody it's a great investment in your own fun in your car if you're an enthusiast. But there's a running joke in the industry. If we go, there's even a Facebook group about joke ads we find on Craigslist.
Yeah.
And the key word is anytime we see somebody put investment in the ad, we know that thing is worthless. 40,000 invested. I'm like, not worth a dime to the next buyer. But there is, I'm going to talk about the French cases where that is a good investment.
Yeah.
Future collector cars like the C6 Z06, which all 427 Corvettes go up in value eventually. It's usually much later, but they are known to have bad heads. And so running aftermarket heads and valve guides will alleviate that issue. And to the next buyer, that's a huge win because you've modified the engine.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like it would be a good investment, but it is. When you're modifying for reliability, the next buyer looks at it as an investment in their future. Things like wheels and tires, no, almost never.
Yeah.
they look cool. The Jeep market may be a weird fringe of that where we're seeing that go up, but for the most part, modding is no, and it is sort of a running joke. Yeah. If you've modded your car a lot, take it all off, sell it all separately, then sell your car otherwise. That's how you get your money back out of that.
That cracks me up because I look at Craigslist 24/7, and it's funny how they list every single
mod. Not 24/7. You've got other things that you're doing.
I do. Well, on my free time, right, I'm always looking on Craigslist, and they'll like list everyone and the price they paid market for each thing, and then add it to the total of what they think they should sell the car to you for. And you're just like, what? Like, no.
Yeah. No low balls.
Yeah, no low balls. If you don't like it, don't call me. It's like, well, it's still there like 4 months later, the same ad.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Dan, I can't help but just ask you, what is the very best car that you have ever owned?
The best car I've ever owned, hands down, is my current car. It's the first car I've ever bought where I'm going to replace it with the exact same car.
Okay.
I've never said that before in my life, and I've owned at least 30 cars. Right now, I own a Porsche 911 Turbo S.
All right.
And so it took me a while to get there. I've always been a Porsche fan, but the hype is real. I've got to say, I've driven everything under the sun. And being in the car world, you get handed to the keys of things I will never own or afford in my life, and I'm very fortunate in that way. But it does everything. I've had it out in the snow all this week. I've got snow tires on it. I've taken it over the pass. I did. Went up to Suncadia for lunch. No problem.
Wow.
Yeah. And Victoria, our director of marketing, has got a Porsche.
Yes.
What kind of Porsche does she have?
Cayman S.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But between the all-wheel drive and the twin turbo, it's got all the horsepower I want. It's got room in the back. I mean, nobody's fitting in the back seats, but it does give you storage room. So you can pack for a good 2 week road trip and you're fine.
Awesome.
That's so cool. So Dan, I'm curious to know, we all buy new cars and they offer you everything under the sun as far as like extras that you can get from like insurance plans and all kinds of stuff. Is a dealer ripping you off? Like what's worth it and what's not worth it? What should you stray away from? What should you actually partake in? I mean, what's the answer?
The short answer is typically no. They're relying on the buyer to be very lazy. And that's how they're making their money. In fact, prepaid maintenance, if you're good about your car, is actually a really good investment. And I know that because I know a lot of technicians who hate doing prepaid maintenance because they don't get paid as much.
Yeah.
But it does save you a lot of money, and it does keep your car better for the next buyer. It will add resale value. Now, if you're leasing, totally different story. You're getting into that car, you're driving that car, you're giving it back and saying, peace out.
Yes, yeah.
I highly recommend doing nothing.
Yeah.
Pay for it, drive it, take care of it, and then send it back. That's it.
Makes total sense.
But if you're doing the smart financial planning, as a lot of people would say, is to buy it and drive it, take care of it, then yeah, that prepaid maintenance and that extended warranty might be a good idea for you if you are that type of person. But I always tell everybody the caveat here is be honest with yourself. Are you really? Because I go through a car about every 2 to 3 years, which is a terrible investment, but a lot of fun.
Yeah, mine's every 10 years. I literally drive my Jag for 10 years, get a new one, and I love it.
Yeah, much smarter investment there to do that. But the only other thing I'd say is paint protection film in this area. That's the one thing I tell everybody is worth the money no matter what you drive. We have so much wet gravel on our roads around here. That stuff just peppers your paint.
Yeah.
So get paint protection film. Dealer installed is almost never the way to go. There's a lot of places around here that it's install is everything.
Okay.
So you're getting what you pay for there. You're going to find some high-end places. They're going to charge you like 10 grand on exotic to install that stuff. It's going to not look like it was ever there. And then you're going to get the real cheap stuff. The guy's going to be like, oh, I'll do it for $1,000. It'll look like you paid a lot less.
Yeah.
It's going to look like you put scotch tape on the front of your car and called it a day. I've seen that many times.
Awesome, Dan. Well, thank you so much. It was really great. I have to say, this is the first time that we've had a guest come in and talk about cars, and I loved it. Well, I think Keelan loved it even a little bit more.
Yeah, he's going to be here every month now.
There you go. Dan, thank you so much. It was a real pleasure.
Thank you so much for having me.
And coming up next in the Money Hour, too many self-employed individuals and small business owners are overpaying taxes. Jake Haynes of Action Tax Services, LLC, right here on 1150 AM KKNW, after this short break.